ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, titled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations, and text number 32. Atah param yad avyaktam avyutha guna brahmitam adrishta shruta vastutvat ಸಜೀವೋ ಯತ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವ. ಅತಃ ದಿಸ್ ಪರಂ ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ಯತ್ ವಿಚ್ ಅವ್ಯಕ್ತಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಅವ್ಯೂಢ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮಲ್ ಶೇಪ್ ಗುಣಬ್ರಹ್ಮಿತಂ ಎಫೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಅದೃಷ್ಟ ಅನ್ಸೀನ್ ಅಶ್ರುತ unheard vastutva being like that saha that jivaha living being yet that which punah bhavaha take birth repeatedly. Translation: beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtly, otherwise he could not have repeated birth. So it's a purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami or Srila Prabhupada. As the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as a gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is the conception of his subtle form, which is simply realized without being seen, heard or manifested. But in fact, all these gross or subtle conceptions of the body are in relation with the living beings. The living beings has his spiritual form beyond this gross material or subtle psychic existence. The gross body and psychic functions cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. In fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is in sound sleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing. So, the living being's passing away from the body does not mean that there is no existence of the living soul. It is there, otherwise how can he repeat his birth again and again? The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle like that of the living being. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of the living being. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination.
Om Agyanati Vrandasya Gyananchana Shalakhya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Sva Pradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣಾರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಕಂಸ ಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಾಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
Hare Krishna. So in this section, there is a description of the Virat Roop, Vishwaroop of Krishna. Here the first statement in the purport is that as the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as the gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is a conception of a subtle form which is simply realized without being seen, heard or manifested. So the Lord has two features at least. One is material and another is spiritual. And the spiritual feature, we know it is in three forms: Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. So three realizations of the Supreme Lord. As we can see, the example of the sunlight, sun globe, and finally the king or the ruler of the sun planet. Similarly, if you look into the material nature, the Lord has his gigantic universal form or Virat Roop. And in each and every universe, there is Virat Roop manifested. So from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the Virat Roop manifests, and from there the whole universal creation takes place. And here there is a nice comparison between living entity's body and the material form of the Supreme Lord. So we cannot perceive the spirit soul. We cannot see us. We can only see the material body. In the same way, with normal vision, one cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can only see his material manifestation. So, the basis of Virat Roop is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we can only directly perceive Virat Roop. So, this is the comparison we can see. We can perceive, we identify a person with his body. In the same way, for a neophyte, he can only understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the material creation. So it is considered a very neophyte state of understanding the Supreme Lord. And that is for the people who cannot appreciate the Satchidananda form of Krishna. So it is very interesting to understand that it is really hard to conceive even the Satchidananda form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was reading one article in which His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, he was traveling and he was in a transit in one of the Islamic countries. I think it's Dubai, I suppose. Dubai or one of those countries. And he was sitting and he was chanting on his beats. Suddenly one gentleman came and he started asking him, "What are you doing?" So he said, "I am chanting the names of God." So he said, and it was very interesting, this Muslim gentleman, he was so devout that when the prayer time came in front of Maharaj, he started praying. He has, you know, it's just fixed. When they said prayer time, he just sat himself and did the namaz. And after that, Maharaj asked him about, you know, they started talking a little bit about God. And obviously, in the understanding of Islamic religion, they don't have a clear picture regarding the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they consider him as impersonal. So there is no features to him. So Maharaj asked, "I am praying now, so you are also praying," because he was doing his namaz. "So it's fine. So now if we actually call upon the Supreme Lord, can he hear that?" So this Muslim gentleman told, "Yes, the Lord should be able to hear." Then he said, "If we offer something for him to eat or if you give something, will he be able to accept?" So he said, "Yes, he can accept." So it implies that then he needs to have eyes, he needs to have other features. So it sounded quite logical for this Muslim gentleman. And he said, "Yeah, that sounds quite interesting and it is very logical." Then Maharaj asked this person, "Look, what's the time now?" So he said, "This is the time." So Maharaj said, "Now I had to catch another flight and I had to go." So this person, he said, he was quite impressed with Maharaj that he went to a shop and he said, "Just wait for 5 minutes, I'll be back in 5 minutes. He just ran to a shop and he bought a very expensive watch and gifted Maharaj and said, "You know, thank you for that information." So this is the nature of people. They do not have proper understanding of the Supreme Lord. Even though they want to worship God, they don't have a clear picture regarding who God is, and He has a personality. So in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jhankasi, finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Jhankasi that even according to Quran, according to the pundits of Quran, the ultimate understanding is that the God has a form and He is blackish in color. So this is the conclusion of Quran. So this is the statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jhankasi. And he accepted. And Jhankasi had devotion, and he said, everyone calls you Gaura Hari. Can I call you Gaura Hari? Because you are Supreme Personality of Godhead. The reason is he received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he could understand the Satchidananda form of Krishna, of Mahaprabhu. So with mercy, with bhakti, one can understand there is Satchidananda form. So even in front of the Lord, Lord is manifest in the form of Archavigraha. But for a person who doesn't have faith, the Lord reciprocates just like a stone. Means there is no reciprocation. So even in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Archa form, if one needs some reciprocation, then one needs faith. Without, as good as stone. So it is mentioned, if somebody sees the Lord's form as stone, then he is considered a Pashandi, meaning an atheist. So the Lord is merciful, so he reveals himself to devotees, and at the same time he can conceal himself to non-devotees, and he can do no reciprocation as such. Now here, after describing the material and spiritual form of Krishna, there is a mention about the living entities. So that is the basis of this verse. That is, beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. And the living being has his form beyond this subtly, otherwise he could not have repeated births. So as we know, we have gross body, we have subtle body, and ourself, the self, is beyond this gross and subtle forms. Now, in the material existence, everything is perverted. As we can see in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Purushottam Yoga, that it is given the comparison of a banyan tree. And the banyan tree is upside down. And the roots are starting from Brahmaloka. And it is going downwards. And in this tree, the twigs of this tree are the object of senses. And the end of each branches are senses. So it is like from senses to sense objects, there is a very strong connection. Very, very strong connection. So in this world, when we engage our senses in sense gratification, we are actually increasing our propensity to be in this material world. And we are actually shaping our subtle form. We are shaping our subtle body for some future births, which can be anything according to our subtle desires. It is like some people, they try to spend too much of time in shaping their body. The whole idea becomes they want to look very nice. So they go to gym, they shape their body so much. I had a friend who used to spend two and a half hours in the morning and two and a half hours in the evening in the gym every day. And he was super regulated in terms of eating. You know, we talk about Vacha Vegam and Asakrodha Vegam, but his Vacha Vegam was pretty interesting, very, very powerful. He never eat anything which is fatty, never. He eats, you know, some 30 eggs or something, or, you know, just break, remove the middle part, and, you know, they're only the white. No oil, no ghee, no butter, nothing. No fun, no ice cream. Anything which has got some taste, you know, he won't touch. Doesn't matter if his family, his friends, anyone asks, no. He's so fixed. And one day, and he became my good friend after he left his, you know, his bodybuilding, and we started working together in some other firm, so he had to leave all these kind of things. And then he was telling, you know, how he was fixed. And when we climbed stairs, say we climbed two stories of a building, and immediately said, yes, this is equivalent to one spoon of oil. So, you know, the whole concept is so much engrossed in the bodily concept that whatever he sees, you know, he considers in terms of body. Even just climbing the steps, you know, is equivalent to consume how much, you know, exercise it requires to consume one spoon of oil. So it became like that. And interesting enough, even though he had a good body, nice body, beautiful body, strong, but mind was not so powerful. So, you know, that's another feature. Mind was, you know, a bit weak, you know, getting too much emotional, so much of issues to deal with. What to do? So that's a material existence in which one is trying to develop one's subtle body through all this kind of gross aspects. And such people, they go in front of mirror and in at least 20 times a day. Every time, you know, go, you know, all different parts, remove the shirt and all different parts, have a look. And if there is a competition, he, you know, it is like 2 weeks before the competition, he stops any intake of water. Or one cup. And 5 days before, only one cup. Oh, sorry, no water. 5 days before the competition. Because all the body, all the fibers and muscles, it actually, you know, becomes, you know, it comes out. So this is a rigorous exercise that he used to perform to have a good body. Then, due course of that, what happened? So if one has a beautiful body, what happens? That attracts opposite sex. It's very natural. Then he had his all these affairs and, you know, then so much of mental torture. So by the time I met him, we became good friends, he was in the state of complete torture. So, you know, it was very, very obvious for him as well as for me what is the end result of all this kind of activities. Then there are some people who want to run very fast. They spend pretty much a lot of time in terms of athletics. They want to run very fast. That is the whole aim. So we can understand what happens to the end of their life if they have such kind of impressions. What their subtle body is already formed to match a gross body of some animal. And that's about it. And that is a further degradation from a human form of life to something else. So this conditioning is in the core of our heart. If I can give an example, if we have a light, a nice globe from which the light is emanating, and if we actually cover that with a filter, a color paper, then whatever is coming out from that globe is, it's not white light, it has some color depending on the conditioning. In the same way, when the spirit soul, when it is entrapped by false ego, which is the original covering, which is the finest and the deepest covering of the living entity. We can see even in Mahatattva, the living entity's the first covering is that of false ego. And from there other aspects comes, you know, other different senses and the subtle bodies, etc. But due to avidya, due to ignorance, when this covering of false ego is present, whatever they do, whatever one performs, that is conditioned. So all those activities are just conditioned, and that is perpetually putting one in material existence. So we usually say this is the knot in the heart. Why do we say it is a knot in the heart? Because it means it is the deepest. So it is considered the ignorance, avidya, is considered the knot in the heart. Meaning that is the subtle most covering of the spirit soul, or the deepest covering of the spirit soul. So with that covering, whatever one does, it is simply perpetuating one's material existence. So as 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, one has to cut this tree of material existence, which is Urdhamulam Atashakha. And it is mentioned that there are subsidiary branches, and these branches are attachment and aversion. And this attachment and aversion are nothing but two sides of the same coin. Because if I want something, that is due to attachment. And if I say, if I don't want something, that is also due to attachment. Because senses doesn't want to perceive a certain kinds of things. And due to this perception, this attachment and aversion, people engage in two different kinds of activities. One is papa and another is punya. So one's life is either sinful activities or pious activities. And both are either nurturing one kind of attachment or aversion. And this is actually further deepening one's existence in the material world. So as I mentioned, the covering of the heart or the note in the heart, we say it is the deepest. In the same way, when we talk about transcendental knowledge, when we talk about spiritual knowledge, that is also of the heart. So we can hear even in terms of first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adhikave Muhyandiyam Sureha. So the Lord imparted knowledge into the heart of Lord Brahma, the supremest living being. So the beginning of knowledge is imparting the knowledge into the heart. So even when we get transcendental knowledge, it is actually into the heart. Even though we hear through the senses, we get experiences. Ultimately, this realization means it is to the heart, because that means the covering of ignorance is removed slowly. Divyajnan hridi prakasito. Divyajnan hridi prakasito. Because divyajnan, this transcendental knowledge, this divine knowledge, it has to light the heart, meaning it has to remove the ignorance. And interesting enough, the Lord's name, Lord's form, Lord's qualities and Lord's pastimes have the potency to actually turn the material attachment into the spiritual attachment. So that is also that of the heart. So ultimately, as we see, when we perform devotional service, when we get purified, and interesting enough, the process of purification, it is simultaneously painful, and at the same time it is enjoyable. It has its pain. It is like if you want to cut something from part of our, say, some people do operation, then the operation part, it is painful indeed. But at the same time, after that, it is pleasurable. It can actually relieve that pain. In the same way, even the process of purification, it has its austerity, it has its difficulty. But at the same time, when one goes through that, when actually gives up such kind of attachment, then there is joy. Because one is not actually bothered so much by the material demands. And on the other side, one gets a higher taste of Krishna. So even chanting, when we speak about chanting, that chanting is also, it's in the heart. Yes, we chant and we hear. But at the same time, when we chant and hear, what's happening is a transformation within the heart. It's not just even hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just information. Okay, information is good, but information is not the end. Information has to lead to transformation of the heart. So this is our process. So we can see, as we get purified by the process of devotional service, by the process of seva, by the process of sadhana, then this knowledge about Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, etc., becomes more dear to our heart. And it doesn't become too external, rather it becomes more close to us. It is like if you watch a movie, people get too absorbed in the movie. I have seen, and I have absorbed myself in the movies as well. It's quite a few hours. Especially if you talk about Indian movies, it is not 1 hour, 1.5 hours. It goes about 2.5, 3 hours. It's a decent time. And it is just, we are so absorbed that we don't know who is sitting next to me, right, left, front, back. No, we don't know anything. We just see the characters doing this and that, and we get so absorbed, we get identified with these characters, and it just goes on. And sometimes people get so affected that they start crying, laughing, they're clapping, everything. So it just shows that the heart is completely into the movie. Correct? In the same way, when we actually get purified, similarly, the attraction becomes more and more clear for Krishna. And then the heart becomes more attached to Krishna. Then we can actually think about Krishna. So as it is mentioned, Shravanam and Kirtanam should lead to Smaranam. Meaning, when we hear and chant, what happens? Naturally we get purified. And as we get purified, then we can think about Krishna. So that is again the process of the heart. It's not just external. So we can see, even if you pick verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, this verses of Bhagavatam is like, if you go to internet and if you click on a small video clip, you know, it has, you know, if you click the video clip, you can see a lot of things coming up. Can be anything, depending on what kind of video clip it is. You can see something, yes? In the same way, verses of Bhagavatam are like that. If you just click the verses of Bhagavatam, then actually you can see a movie in it. It has so much in it. So when we hear, you know, sometimes it can be quite philosophical, sometimes it can be quite pastimes, but just one verse of Bhagavatam, it has so much. So this is the transcendental nature of Bhagavatam. This is the transcendental knowledge. And we can relish, we can appreciate only through our heart, means with our deep consciousness. It's not just external. And the process of devotion service helps to purify and to actually understand what's going on in Bhagavatam. So this is our experience. Initially, when we started chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it was too difficult to even to think about chanting 16 rounds. Just to think of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna is just too much. And initially we asked, how many rounds are, finally every, yeah, I started chanting one round. We asked everyone, how many rounds are you chanting? People say 16 rounds. 16 rounds? It's just too much. You know, it's just too much. I thought, you know, my mouth will, you know, it will get tired if I chant too much. You know, it's just too much. You know, 2 hours of chanting is just too much. That's our feeling, you know. And Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, you know, it's just, you know, if you see the old 18 volumes here, it's just too much. Too much of a struggle, you know, just to read this. But when we practice, we know it is quite enjoyable. It is quite nice. Chanting becomes much better. And we see we don't get, you know, feel, oh yeah, you know, it's just too much. We get out from the feeling of just too much. It is nice. Then we don't feel, you know, 2 hours, that's okay, no problem. We don't find such a difficulty. So that is the nature of devotion service. Because Krishna has the potency to purify our heart. Again, it is the heart. Krishna has the potency to purify our heart. Only thing that we have to sincerely attempt. And also we have to give the most favorable condition. It is like sometimes we have experience of chanting, just walking here, there, or, you know, talking so much, chatting and chanting, and, you know, the whole thing goes on. If we continue like that, one doesn't make a lot of progress. One time, I was hearing a conversation between Anuruddha Prabhu and Indradvina Maharaj. So they were mentioning, Indradvina Maharaj was telling, people say they don't make any spiritual progress. People always complain, oh, we are not making any spiritual progress. But when we ask how they are chanting, they say, I chant one round here, one round there, 2 rounds here, 3, 4, finally, at the end of the day, it is 16. You know, we think, if somebody is chanting all the time, you know, all the time he has got a bead bag, it means that, he's not Haridas Thakur, it means that, you know, he hasn't finished his rounds in the morning. So, when one follows that kind of a routine in terms of chanting, then one doesn't make any progress. So one has to have solid rounds, like 16 in one go, at least if one has to divide a big chunk and then remaining like that. And in that way, if we absorb, then slowly ignorance will reduce. Then we can actually try to appreciate Bhagavatam. Then we can appreciate, try to remember something. It is like one devotee mentioned that, look, I am reading Bhagavad Gita with notes and everything, but after some time, I can remember nothing. I am studying properly, I am reading, writing, notes, everything is good, but I am remembering nothing. Why? So one advanced devotee, he answered that it is because still you don't accept what you are reading so much, to a great degree. you are reading, that's nice. It is just theoretical. It's not, even on a theoretical basis also, it is not accepted. So if you really accept, then there is a high chance that we remember. And if you don't really accept, if we are still in a doubtful form, maybe true. Anyway, I'm taking some notes, I'm studying, then one doesn't remember. Because it hasn't actually entered the heart, because there is not sufficient faith to accept. And if we have that sufficient faith to accept, then there is a higher chance we would remember. And Kali Yuga, our memory is not so great, so we have to go through this repeated process of hearing again and again. Like in Bhagavatam class, pretty much we are reading the same Bhagavatam. We might have heard all this philosophy so many times. But still, we hear again and again, because on one level, we have to remember it because we have forgetfulness. On other side, as we get purified, we can relish it more and more. So this is transcendental knowledge. So it's mentioned. And the conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in His transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle. So the Lord's form is not neither gross or subtle, because He doesn't have a gross body or a subtle body, but He has Sachidananda form, transcendental form, which is completely spiritual. And similarly, we also have our spiritual form. And in this verse, it is asking, if there is no such subtlest form, which is a spiritual form, then how is it possible to have repeated birth and death? So if we have to accept, if we have to understand this world, actually the functioning of this world, two things are very important. One is karma. One has to understand karma. And one also has to understand this reincarnation, repeated birth and death. Without that, we cannot actually explain whatever is going on in this world. It is impossible. So, since, and we do understand, it's not just a gross body, there is a subtle body. And that subtle body which carries the impressions. And with that we can understand, whatever we perform, there is a subtle impressions and we are forming our future. And we are responsible for our own future. That is the essence of understanding karma. If one understands karma, that ultimate understanding is that, okay, we are responsible for our karma, and now there is a process by which we can actually get out from there. And whereas the Lord, He is completely above karma. Karma is not influenced by the Lord. Name karmani lipyanti, name karma bhala spraha. So karma has nothing to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because whatever He performs, it is simply by His sweet will. There is no question of any reaction to Him. At the same time, He reciprocates to His devotees. He says, yathamam prapatyante tam sadaiva bhajamiham. So even though he is not bound by karma, even though he is fully independent, still He is happy to reciprocate to His devotees. And that is the basis on which we perform devotional service. Because we are dependent on Krishna's mercy. It is not just our endeavor, but we are dependent on Krishna's mercy. And Krishna does reciprocate, even though He is not bound by karma. So that we had to understand, that is the transcendental action. That is completely spiritual action. And the devotees are completely dependent on that. And Krishna has the potency to reciprocate in all different ways, according to the surrender of the devotees. And interesting enough, even all the devotees have provided with unique features so that He can serve the Lord in a peculiar way, in a particular way, in a unique way. So if we don't actually perform devotional service, it means that we are not actually giving the Lord, or we are not trying to give the Lord a particular kind of service in a particular way, which we can actually give. And we are unique, and that particular element only we can give. So if we don't do devotional service, means we are actually getting out from that condition where we can actually serve the Lord in a very, very unique way, which others cannot. That's very interesting. Because we are individuals. And the Lord can reciprocate in a particular, very, very unique way to an individual soul. And finally, it's mentioned, the living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. So, our form, whatever is at this point, it is only the contamination. And the process of devotional service can dissolve this contamination and dissolve both gross and the subtle body. As I was hearing recently about Rishabhdev, he performed detachment. He finally wanted to give up his material gross and subtle body in such a way that in his meditative state he made sure that all the gross elements of the body mixes with the repository of gross elements. Similarly, all the subtle elements of the body mixes with the subtle elements of the repository of subtle elements. So he made sure that is in the meditative posture he actually gave up his gross body. It went, that is earth, water, fire, ether, it actually went back to the collection of these elements. Then the mind, intelligence, and finally false ego. The whole thing actually went back to its original position within the material world. And then the spirit soul, that he himself, he actually went back to the spiritual abode. So this is Jadaparat is actually showing the Jadaparat or Rishabhdev? Rishabhdev? Yes, Rishabhdev. It burnt him. Yeah, both are saying. Anyway, Rishabhdev, he couldn't do in his life, right? So he came as Jadapara. So ultimately, Bharat. Okay, so this is, that's right. So this is Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev did that. So he actually dissolved. And ultimately, he performed the pastime of detachment in that way. So this is the potency of devotional service. And in this age, we are not asked to dissolve our body in this way, but simply by the process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, eating enough prasadam, and chanting and doing some seva, one can actually dissolve all this gross as well as subtle bodies and go back to Godhead. So this is the easy process given by Lord Chaitanya. So I stop here and see if there are any comments, questions or corrections. Thank you very much. 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 Thank you very much